It's the finals, Derek.
What?
Stanley Cup Finals. Big things.
I gotta stop you right there, Mike. And I don't mean to like interrupt your flow.
Please do.
Stanley Cup Final.
Stanley Cup Finals.
Final.
Finals? Final?
Singular. Final. Like countdowns.
Like Europe.
Yeah.
So you're referencing the worst rock and roll song in history.
No, that is not the worst rock and roll song in history.
That it is. Europe, the final countdown,
mm-mm,
is the worst rock and roll song in history.
We built this city.
No, it's worse.
Oh, no.
Yes, oh yeah, it's absolutely worst.
Okay, one of them was featured in Arrested Development in Great Bits. One of them is We Built This City.
Arrested Development, haven't seen it.
Oh, you're missing out, sir.
No, I'm not. You know why? Because
why is that?
I'm busy watching the Stanley Cup Final.
There you go.
And watching my Nashville Predators.
Wait, they're yours now?
They're my Nashville Predators.
Okay.
I mean, some people root for the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Predators.
They've gotten a lot of life, or, you know, we all have gotten a lot of life out of that one typo in a tweet.
Yes. Well, no, it wasn't just a tweet. It was actually a letter that was sent to a season ticket holders.
Oh, it was?
Yeah. It was a full letter.
Oh, shows what I know.
Yeah, but go Purds. The Pens are absolutely disappointing us after their game one victory. I believe a total of 5 goals on 12 shots.
You know, as of right now, Mike, the Penguins have gone nearly 23 hours without a shot on goal. That's only 22 and a half hours more than they went last night.
Yeah, it felt. Our buddy, an analytics expert, shut down line, tweeted, "You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Pens scored on their next shot." And guess what? Here comes Jake Guentzel.
He shoots, he scores. Scratch my back with your mama's hacksaw.
Much respect to Mike Lang.
Yes. We'll get into last night's game a little bit more, but the life and my zest for that game last night just got completely sucked out of it with that damn offsides call.
Oh, come on. What's more exciting than a misenjoyed, inappropriately handled 6-minute offsides video challenge?
Root canals.
All right, let's do this back and forth. How quickly can we do it? Things that are worse than NHL reviews of offsides calls in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. And go.
Commando sitting on a cactus.
Yeast infections.
Oh, God.
And scene.
I'm tapping out, Mike.
Right there.
Wow.
Right there.
Welcome back, everyone.
Good to talk to you guys. This is Cheaters Never Win. We've got a great show for you tonight.
It's better than this open.
Absolutely. Great guest.
we transitioned from that to our guests.
You've got to, right?
When you've got
guests, the quality of the new starting goaltender for your Carolina Hurricanes took a visit and called in to the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters. Scott Darling called in a little bit earlier. We chatted with him about why he chose Carolina, hit him with some rapid-fire pop questions, including a couple of your guys who were so interested in what Scott's favorite or signature food item may be. And just a personable guy.
Yeah, I sent it out in some kind of communications to some friends that we have interviewed not a great number of players, and that's because, you know, if we're painting with a broad brush, a lot of them are very tight-lipped and don't want to say too much for fear of making waves. Scott Darling, I would say, is the most personable player we've had on this podcast so far.
I mean, he's right up there with, in terms of we haven't had a lot of player interviews. Mitch Marner was very personable.
He was very forthright.
And Scott Darling, very forthright, a lot of fun, seems like a great guy and a guy we're looking forward to having here in Raleigh. So we're not going to bury the lead. After the entrance, after the open, we'll probably go right to Darling. But then we had a podcast favorite, one of our favorite people on the planet, and also another ginger.
Also another ginger, and she's one of our favorite people on the planet, despite where she went to school. You know her, you love her, Michelle McMahon of the NHL Network, and all of the NHL Network this week.
Yeah, yeah, she has been literally everywhere. By everywhere, I mean covering the Pittsburgh Penguins.
She's mastered omnipresence?
You know what? That wouldn't be such a bad thing.
I mean, it's not surprising at this point with everything she does.
Yeah. What one of the hardest working journalists that you'll know in the business, definitely plugged in, and she took some time out of a very busy day to spend a few minutes to share some stories of Pittsburgh with us. So we're excited to also have Michelle on. We've got your cheat mayo. We've got a beer review we're going to talk about. I think we're going to talk a little bit about the expansion draft. We're going to talk a little bit about free agency. We're going to talk about some of the plans we're making for the NHL entry draft in Chicago. We've got at least one more draft preview show we're going to have to do between now and then, and we might even tease a little Patreon special that we're going to have for you, some of our loyal Patreon supporters. So, Derek, with all of that said, I think this entrance turned out better than we had maybe hoped.
I think so. I think it may have hit a low point, but we have rebounded nicely, and I'm ready to do the rest of the show.
Yeah, I can't believe you corrected me. That was so. Apologies, folks, who had to go through that whole finals thing. That was bad.
That's totally what I meant.
I know you did. But until then, do me a favor.
Yeah.
Hit that damn X button.
Okay.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Voice, for once again welcoming us back here to Cheaters Never Win, a part of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network.
Yay, 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 wah.
Also, a couple of changes. We continuing to look for new sponsors for next season's podcast, but we have been making a few changes over on Ye Olde Blog. We've been spending a lot of time, trying to create a few new shirts this past season. Really cranking up the old creativity machine now that we've had a few weeks, dare I say, months away from hockey. We've all been had taken some time off and all of that, and we're on Amazon now. We've got not only the Amazon referral links, but we are bringing our shirts to you now in better quality, and we're bringing them to you faster, and we're bringing them to you more inexpensively.
You could say less expensively, too.
Exactly. By selling them on Amazon with Amazon Prime. So there is one caveat to that. We have to sell each design at least once in the first 90 days. Otherwise, they disappear. And then if they disappear, we'll have to revert back to selling them on Ye Olde Redbubble. So as much as we enjoy that, we like to give you, our loyal listeners, better deals on the t-shirts. So my new favorite, the Hot Takes Now shirt.
This is not a joke. I ordered mine this afternoon. It should arrive, I believe, on Monday or Tuesday. With tax, I'm all in for like $21.50.
Yeah, that's good work, Derek. Rumor has it that there might be a Sebastian Aho themed shirt coming down the tracks.
One of those is in the works. We have other shirts in the works that I don't want to leak right now, but one that you might see around July 1st that is all but settled. There's your tease, but please check the shirts out. We actually had an update on the Falk Yeah shirt. New season, slightly new design. But before you head over to Amazon, head on over to section328.com. Click that big buy on Amazon button and then search for Section 328. You can find all our shirts there. And right now it's even our pinned tweet. So go check out all the shirts there. We hope you like them. We hope you love them. We hope you'll wear them with pride, as we all will as the 328 crew, both here in town and wherever we may travel to spread the good word of hockey in Carolina.
And we can only hope that once he arrives here in Raleigh formally, we can present unto Scott Darling a Cheaters Never Win shirt. And guys, we're very excited to welcome none other than the newest member of the Carolina Hurricanes. We don't normally get a chance to talk about the newest member until we get to the draft, but Ron Francis made a big move this offseason, went out and got a new starting goaltender for our Carolina Hurricanes. We're lucky enough to have him here on Cheaters Never Win for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Scott Darling to the podcast. Mr. Darling, welcome, sir. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
We're very excited to have you on, and let's jump right into it. You know, you were very forthcoming, and you said when you were thinking about this free agency, kind of the first big free agency of your career, you knew you wanted to come to Carolina. What was it about this team, this franchise, the way they play, that made you want to be the backstop for the Carolina Hurricanes?
Oh, there are a lot of factors that went into it. You know, it's a great team, up and coming. You know, they're so close already, and it excited me to be a part of, you know, building the team back up to, you know, where you want it to be, being a playoff contender, and I'm excited for that challenge. And then once you get past the hockey part, you know, everybody I talked to had nothing but great things to say about the people in the organization, and then once I got to talk to them, it reaffirmed everything. Everyone was awesome to me throughout the process, and then, you know, Raleigh's a great city, beautiful part of the country, and I'm excited about all of it.
And one of the things that Canes fans can kind of point to that in our minds may have made this a little more appealing for you, or maybe not, depending on what kind of guys they are, is you have some former teammates here like Tara Vinen and Nordstrom who may be able to tell you a little bit about the team and try to sell you on it. Does having teammates down here make the transition a little bit easier?
Yeah, it definitely does, and it definitely helped put my mind at ease during the process. You know, I didn't want to go in blind. I was lucky enough, you know, Joachim and I are still really tight to this day, and Bix and I, and Turbo, and so I have those guys that I can really get a player's perspective, you know, what it's like for them on a day-to-day basis, how kind of everything runs, and you know, they, like I said, reaffirmed what I had already heard, but I wanted to hear it from an actual player's perspective, too. And they said it's great. Everyone's great. They love living there. You know, the team's a great group of guys. And, you know, they didn't have to sell me much, but they did.
Well, you know, we're glad they sold you. We're really glad that you're here. But now that you're no longer a member of the Chicago Blackhawks, Scott, tell us this. Which one member of the current Blackhawks roster are you most looking forward to just absolutely stoning on a breakaway and then giving them that little sly grin as they skate away?
Oh, that would have to be Kaner. me and Kaner, we battle a lot in practice. You know, I hate when he scores on me, and he loves scoring on me. So, and he's done it enough in practice. So it'll be interesting to go against him. But he'd probably be my favorite guy to you know, make a big save on.
We kind of expected that may have been the answer. So for Canes fans that are excited for you being here, you can count us among them. We see your stats and they've been very impressive, but maybe they haven't had a chance to watch you play a lot in Chicago. Can you tell us a little bit about what goaltenders that you may emulate your style after so we could have got a bit more of a taste of what to expect next season?
I don't know. I do think the way I play is a little bit unique. I like to say I'm like in the middle of Ben Bishop and Pekka Rinne, where Ben's a little, he's big, positional, and he's quiet and calm. And Rinne is really reactive and, you know, makes those acrobatic saves. So I try and fall right in the middle because I'm not as calm or, you know, it's just not the way I play like Ben Bishop does. I do rely on some athleticism and reaction. I don't just, you know, try and take away space, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how you describe my game. I like to stop the puck. I like to play the puck. I don't know.
No, we're excited. We're excited about it. So you're in a bit of a unique position, Scott, in the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes do not currently have a goaltending coach. And I'm wondering, are you going to get any input or say into the goaltending coach decision? And really, for guys who grew up in this part of the world and have no idea how you figure out who is a good goaltending coach, what do you look for in a good goaltending coach to kind of take your career to that next level?
I don't know. I've had success with prior goalie coaches and, you know, kind of like an energetic, like goalie nerd type person, because I myself am, and I love to talk about goaltending and watch other goalies and kind of be a student of the game. So that would be ideal for me. But I'm pretty... I mean, I think I am. I don't know. Some people may think that, but I think I'm easy to work with. And you know, so I don't know what if they're going to ask my input or anything. You know, I'm sure they're very busy right now with everything going on with the expansion draft, the real draft coming up. So we'll see where it goes.
Well, it'll be interesting for all of us. And one thing that, you know, we've all known is that when Ron Francis said he went out, he made that big commitment to bring you here, that at least in our eyes, there's a bit of an expectation that you are going to be the starting goaltender for the Carolina Hurricanes next season. And as you've been behind Corey Crawford at various points or not played a starter's chunk of games, is your preparation going into next year any different now with the at least assumed greater responsibilities?
No, not really. You know, for me, I've kind of always done the same thing every summer, have the same routine, and I always prepare for the season like I'm going to play 82 games. Obviously, that hasn't been the case, but I think the preparation of being ready for 82 games is why I was able to be ready and when I'm on call or when I didn't know I was going to be playing, be able to play, because, you know, you just prepare like you're going to play every game. And as for, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's two other great goalies in Raleigh, so nothing's handed to you, and I'm excited for the challenge, and I can't wait to get started.
Well, you know, Scott, we've been catching up on your Twitter feed, and it's obvious that you like to be really involved in the community. We thought it was great after, unfortunately, your Blackhawks got bounced a little bit earlier than maybe everyone had expected. Pretty immediately, you were out, if not the next day, the day after, supporting and doing things with Special Olympics, and we just thought that was great. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, how you hope to get ingrained in the community, and maybe better yet, what are some of your favorite charities that you like to support that Caniacs can expect to see you get behind?
You know, I'll have to figure out what's out there. I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say I've like linked on with a specific charity, but I'm always very open to kind of helping wherever I can, I guess. So when I see an opportunity, I'm happy to, you know, either provide time or, you know, in this market, there's a lot of fundraising stuff, whether it be pictures or sticks, whatever I can do to help. It's just kind of, like I said, I haven't like aligned myself with one charity. I kind of try and do a little bit for all of them, I guess you could say. So once I get out there, I'm sure I'll see what's around and see obviously who, you know, the Canes work with and see what I can do to help.
No, that's fantastic, and I appreciate Mike setting me up from a very heartwarming question to a more frivolous question here, but you signed a very nice contract for yourself over the offseason and much deserved. Curious, what was your first purchase after putting pen to paper?
I haven't bought anything. Everyone asks me that. I haven't done anything.
Not even a pair of shoes? Or
No. I went to Austin this past weekend, so I had a little trip, I guess. But
hey, that works.
No, I don't know. Like I mean, it's still kind of shocking to me that that's a real thing. So it hasn't really set in yet. But I mean, I've never kind of had this ability, so I've kind of learned how to live a modest life, I guess you could say, whether it's playing in the Southern Pro League or playing in the East Coast League, and then all of a sudden this happens.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Try and keep it cool. Not go crazy.
Hey, you could finally get that John LeClair Maine Black Bears jersey that you had autographed so many years ago framed.
Yeah.
There you go. So we had some folks send in kind of a few pop culture questions. So we wanted to hit you with a couple of things here off hockey, a little bit rapid fire. You know, everyone knows Eddie's got his signature food item with taco. What would Scott Darling's signature food item be?
Oh, geez, that's a tough one. Italian sandwich.
Good choice. We're okay with that.
Yeah.
That's my go-to.
You may have heard about it. You probably haven't. Kane's Legend. No hummus or cheddar cheese on that Italian sandwich, please.
Oh yeah, that's a story for another day.
You are known for
provolone. That's what always comes on there.
Absolutely. You are known for having a very stately beard. Beard oil or au naturel?
Au naturel.
Oh, natural. We like to hear. We're heading up to Chicago for the draft. Besides the pizza that we all know is pretty overrated, what's the one food we should eat while we're in Chicago?
I mean, if you've never had it, you got to go to Portillo's and get a hot dog.
Gotcha.
Kind of like the staple.
And Portillo's for the hot dog.
Portillo's,
then,
yeah, no ketchup. We don't do that.
No, ketchup doesn't belong on hot dogs. You put chili and mustard on hot dogs.
Make sure you get the celery salt on there.
Celery salt? We got
all right.
That's, That's the deal breaker. That's what it is. That's why they're still good.
I love it. Scott, I think this is going to be one of our last questions for the ginger members of our audience. Favorite SPF?
It's the highest I can find. Whatever, 115, whatever I can get my hands on.
Scott Darling requesting the first three-digit number from the Carolina Hurricanes in history, SPF 115 on the back of a jersey. I love it. Scott, but before we let you go, we do have to take a second, and I feel like we personally need to apologize to you. There may have been a game where you had played in Raleigh that you may have heard some people in the third level potentially tell you that you may not have been as good as you may have thought you were. We would like to formally...
In a hockey game, people would do that?
Yeah, some people.
I can't believe that.
We would like to formally apologize and say, we were wrong, we are sorry, and we will do whatever it takes to make it up to you. Well, our new goaltender.
Might take a lot, so we'll see.
Hey, we're there. Scott, we really appreciate it. Any last thoughts that you'd like to give out to the Caniac Nation as we kind of depart this season through the Stanley Cup Finals and you prepare for what's sure to be a big camp here in Raleigh in September?
Oh, I don't know. Just like I said, I probably sound like a broken record. I'm just excited. I can't wait to get there, and everybody I've met was so great, and can't wait to officially become a Hurricane and get it started.
Well, let's get this party cranked up. Scott Darling, new member, and we're going to go ahead and call it right here, starting goaltender come October for your Carolina Hurricanes. Mr. Darling, thank you very much, sir. We look forward to not only your tremendous size, your au naturel beer, but tasting this celery salt hot dog. Thank you again for taking some time out, man. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
I mean, where else can you go in the blog/podosphere to get celery salt and SPF advice from a starting National Hockey League goaltender?
I think I saw one. It was a old California Golden Seals blog where they went back and interviewed. I don't know.
Yeah. Scott Darling, really excited to have that guy here in Raleigh.
He seems genuinely happy to be here. I mean, I know he's saying the right things. I mean, he's excited to be here. But it sounds genuine, and I'm really surprised he didn't buy himself anything nice with that big new contract.
Hey, Austin's a good city.
No, it is, but like, not even a pair of shoes, maybe a nice pair of jeans. Like he could upgrade from some Old Navy jeans to like, hey, I'm gonna go get myself some Seven for All Mankind jeans. But no, he's not that kind of guy. He's gonna keep it weird and go to Austin.
What and. For those who regularly listen to this podcast and the folks who actually have made the trek up the stairs to visit us in Section 328, I think those folks would realize that you would be the guy who would be dropping these Seven for All Mankind references on this podcast.
I would be. I've never owned a pair, but yeah. I know people who have, and I've gone, why?
Yeah. Why?
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 Sounds like a lot of money to spend on denim.
You know what also is a lot of money to spend? Marc-Andre Fleury. We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast. What is Jim Rutherford going to do? He is in the Stanley Cup Finals. He's positioned himself quite well. Marc-Andre Fleury really, I think, kind of increased his value during the first couple of rounds of this playoff series. Obviously, Matt Murray is back between the starter pipes, as rightfully he probably should be. But it's interesting as we were all sitting around, you, I, and Meg, and Raleigh Monkey, kind of talking about game one and the draft. We were, again, I think, Derek, you and I had completely forgotten that Pittsburgh is required to protect Marc-Andre Fleury, should he still be on the roster when the expansion lists have to be submitted, because Marc-Andre Fleury has that little no-trade clause.
That adds, I would say, a good bit of intrigue to it, and we were kicking some thoughts around tonight of like, okay, what do they do with Marc-Andre Fleury? And before we got Scott Darling, we're thinking, okay, maybe there's some kind of way that we can flip Cam Ward to Pittsburgh for Marc-Andre Fleury. And now we see the contracts and go, well, wait a damn minute. Marc-Andre Fleury's due a shade under $6 million. Scott Darling's getting a shade over $4 million. We're not going to commit $10 million to the goaltending position here in Raleigh. That's just
isn't that what we paid Cam Ward for 8 seasons, like per season or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think if you annualize his salary over those like 5 games in November and worked it out that way, that's how it worked. But we started talking tonight of like, hey, what if we can help out Pittsburgh, we can help out ourselves, and we can help out Vegas? What if we could flip Cam Ward to Pittsburgh, and there's some ancillary things thrown in to make it work for both teams. And then flip Marc-Andre Fleury to Vegas for, I don't know, a second round pick or something like that. Everyone wins. We get a goaltending tandem of Ward and Lack. Pittsburgh has a...
Ward and Lack?
Not Ward and Lack, Jesus. Darling and Lack.
Yeah, Ward and Lack. We know, we've watched that movie.
That one does not work out well. Ugh, I'm sorry I even said that. And then Pittsburgh gets, in Jim's mind, a reliable backup goaltender in Cam Ward to relieve Matt Murray when he needs. And Vegas gets a guy with two Stanley Cups that they can show off in their marketing materials.
So what you're saying is, though, that the preface of that is Ron Francis is going to have to go to GM, that's General Manager George McPhee, for those who aren't in the acronym game.
Mm-hmm. Gum, I call him.
And basically say, look, give us something and we will give you Marc-Andre Fleury. Otherwise, we're going to take Flower and Darling and then basically expose Eddie Lack with the intent of potentially buying out Eddie Lack after the expansion draft.
Yeah.
Is that a bluff that George McPhee would take?
Maybe, but I don't like the fact that we could be tied to Fleury and Darling next year. I mean, that's a lot of money. It's a good goaltending combination. Let's get that right out there. But I don't know that this team wants to spend that, even though we may need something like that to be at the cap floor, depending on how we do in free agency.
Agreed. Agreed. So, I mean, there's options. And I think Marc-Andre Fleury is going to be one of those first chips to fall, except the Chicago Blackhawks are currently $5 million over next year's salary cap as it's currently projected. They need to get rid of Marcus Krueger. They need
good luck with all that.
Good luck with that. They don't have Teuvo Teravainen to give up. But maybe there's somebody out there worthwhile.
Are we going to make it a hat trick of fleecing Chicago in off seasons?
I don't know if we fleeced them last year. We helped them. We got some, we got Turbo, which is a good piece. He's not quite where we want him to be yet, but Turbo is a piece we can build around, which I know we are all excited about.
But we didn't give up that much to get him. I mean, I think we clearly won that deal.
Absolutely, but we have to find a way to get a first-line center in this free agency / trade season.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if Jim Rutherford might be willing to deal, I don't know, Geno Malkin.
I don't think Geno wants to come here, Mike. I don't know. I don't know if you happened to be on the Twitter yesterday.
Twitter, not quite familiar with it. Educate
me. It's a website where assholes hang out.
Okay, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. So someone apparently asked Geno about his role in Pittsburgh and if he's cool being the number two behind Crosby. And I'm not saying verbatim, but paraphrasing, it was basically, I'd rather be the number two in Pittsburgh than be the guy in Carolina. And boy, did the locals not like that.
No, he was using Carolina as an example. I think he could have said in Carolina, in Arizona, in Quebec, in Seattle. Did I hit all of the local hot button?
You hit all four of the Greg Wyshynski approved markets.
Okay, got it. We all know Pascal Dupuis said it best, but the fact that this franchise that has went to three Stanley Cup finals in less than 10 years, or went to three Eastern Conference finals in less than 10 years, won a Stanley Cup now 11 seasons ago, to be the butt of the joke hurts. But
yeah,
Geno's probably right. Because if you look at, for example, what goes on in the NBA, for all of the grief that Kevin Durant has received for choosing the Golden State Warriors and going to the front runner, these guys, once they get paid, all they want to do is win.
Mm-hmm.
And Geno Malkin gets the opportunity to play with the best player in the league. If I'm Geno, I only want to go play in one other city.
Where's that?
Edmonton. If I can be number two to Connor McDavid, okay, that doesn't sound like a bad gig.
So again, I don't have the ego and the confidence, and I don't say ego as a bad thing, to be an elite professional athlete. I mean, I think you justifiably have to have a pretty healthy ego.
Yeah, ego's the only thing you're missing, Derek.
Well, that and Oh, I see.
Athleticism.
I see what you did there. But, you know, like you said, Geno's already had a big contract. A lot of these guys have gotten paid well north of $5 million for several years. That's a great amount of income. At what point do you go, okay, would I rather make an extra 15 to 20% per year and probably not contend for championships? Or make a little less and contend? But then where does the ego come in that they truly believe that they are so good that they could take a 16-17 Avalanche and make them a Stanley Cup contender? You know what I mean?
So what you're saying is you're using the Mark Messier ideology. Mark Messier, could he take the Edmonton Oilers without Gretzky?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did. Mark Messier, he took the New York Rangers.
Yeah, totally.
Without Gretzky. The Vancouver Canucks still suck.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, where is that line? Like, what's the balance of money versus winning? But I think you were right.
I think what I would like to know is, obviously, he is a Russian. He is enigmatic. He is not to be trusted.
Well, Mike, you said the same thing three times in a row. I just heard enigmatic three times.
I did. I think it's a very Russian thing. I'm wondering if the Germans feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought you were going geopolitical, and no, you were just going dreicidal.
Yeah.
I was not picking up what you were putting down at first.
So that's the question. With all of the stuff that has come out, and the Score had another really good article today talking about, is this the time to offer sheet Leon Dreisaitl? The answer is yes.
I see the Score has been reading at Peak of Good Living's timeline.
Yes, and also listening to this very podcast, section328.com/podcast/cheatersneverwin/Leon Dreisaitl. Get your ass to Raleigh. /dare German Gretzky.
So do we have to follow the old broadcast rules of if we say a URL, we have to own it? Because I need to go put up a blog post right now with whatever the hell you just said.
Yeah, we'll play this back. We'll play this back afterwards, okay, and we'll get well within the FCC regulations.
Fantastic.
I'm sure they don't have a problem with our opening tonight.
No, God, no.
It's going to be interesting though, because that's the guy as we project this out and. I think that is as much focus is going to be on Matt Duchene and what's going to happen there. There is one other guy.
Who dat?
And he currently works for Joe Sakic. His name is not Matt Duchene.
Mm-hmm.
His name is not Gabriel Landeskog. I did see
Tyson Berry?
I did see multiple posts where Joe Sakic confirmed for the right package, Nathan MacKinnon is available.
Stop it.
Derek, Nathan MacKinnon might be available.
I have two emojis to use for this. One is an eggplant. One is a whale. And a lot of blood just left my torso.
Derek?
So,
quick question.
Yeah.
You have a chance to get one of two franchise centers.
Tell me that slower.
Leon Dreisaitl or Nathan MacKinnon. It takes Noah Hanifin, this year's first round pick, and next year's second round pick.
Okay.
Do you make the deal?
Yeah.
It takes Justin Falk a first and a first.
Ooh.
Do you make the deal?
Ooh, that's big. I don't know. That's a lot.
It's Nathan MacKinnon.
Right, and I would take MacKinnon over Dreisaitl in this one.
So Leon Dreisaitl is going to cost you two firsts, a second, and a third, because Leon Dreisaitl, the offer sheet's going to be north of 753. So you're going to be giving up two firsts, a second, and a third for Leon Dreisaitl.
Yeah.
If you offer sheet them. No, it's going to be a first in this year's draft. It's going to be the 12th pick in this year's draft in a legitimately non-strong draft.
You're saying in the trade scenario.
Correct.
Okay. I mean that's really tough, but a guy like MacKinnon changes this team so dramatically, and I would probably take MacKinnon over Dreisaitl. I mean, Dreisaitl is bigger, he's younger, but MacKinnon is slightly more proven. Granted, he wasn't as productive this year, but that guy's speed, it's a game changer.
Nate. I don't even know. I don't even know what to do with myself.
Right?
If I'm Bill Peters, A, my haircut would be much better. B, I get to put Scott Darling as my starting goaltender as I'm drawing out that first whiteboard of the season, and I get to write in Nathan MacKinnon as the first line center. I get to put Jordan Staal at the two. I get to put Victor Rask at the three, and I get to pick a guy, any guy, better than Jay McClemmon at four.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start filling in forwards around him, knowing that I have Jeff Skinner to play with Nathan MacKinnon, and we know the chemistry those two have, having played with Team Canada together. I'm getting a little short of breath, Derek.
Stop it, Mike.
I'm just saying.
Stop it. We I think we need to change the topic because I only brought one pair of pants this evening.
Well, we're going to have to talk about something else because I can't segue to our other guest from this from this conversation.
Damn it. I tried to do a segue, Mike. This is why you are the host and I am the co-host of this. Hey, we're going to be in Chicago.
We are going to be in Chicago. Let's talk about that. Like, we are very excited to be heading up with...
Speaking of times I won't be wearing pants.
With most of the Section 328 crew, I believe it'll be the two of us. It'll be analytics master, Canalytics.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be prospect guru, Canes Prospects, a.k.a. Pat Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if we need to drop any 5,000-word articles out there, this podcast associate producer, chief videographer, and all-around amazing dude, and, Mr. Workrate.
And also... co-host of the wrestling-focused Cheaters Never Pin podcast, part of the Section 328 Media Empire.
That is correct. All five of us will be holed up in a two-bedroom condo somewhere off Michigan Avenue, not only bringing you the best in Carolina Hurricanes coverage that we can bring, which is not going to be great, but we're also
going to be pretty damn good.
It's going to be pretty damn good. We're also going to have a friend of the podcast, a guy who we like to refer to as local media, from Technician, Andrew Schnitker is going to be joining us. Andrew has a press pass, so Andrew is going to be feeding us all sorts of good background internal information, so we're very excited about that. But we are currently in the process of planning a live podcast Friday afternoon. We're going to be delivering it to you, hopefully from a local Chicago brewery. Working on the details of that right now. Working on some guests. Brian LeBlanc from Kane Country probably going to join us for part of that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
If they're there, I would suspect maybe, I don't know, some huge special guest. We've talked to a few friends who, if they're in town,
we're trying.
They're going to come and visit us. So really excited about that. And going to do our best to bring you the best of the best. And again, this is part and parcel thanks to you, our loyal listeners who have helped support this podcast throughout the year, whether it be via Patreon or whether it be buying one of those t-shirts or just clicking on the buy on Amazon link via section328.com before you buy on Amazon, because it is those funds that are allowing us to get most of the 328 crew to Chicago to be able to cover it for you, and also to make sure that we've got some great new guest for you, because we always make great friends at the draft, and it gives us a great opportunity to get more words from around the National Hockey League delivered to you, our loyal listeners. You know another person we plan on seeing at that NHL draft, Derek?
Who dat, Mike?
That would be the queen of NHL Network herself, Michelle McMahon.
Okay.
And folks, welcome back to the podcast. Can we call her now? Is she a Canes legend, having risen to just the peak of NHL goodness?
You've called her that, so I will too.
Okay. None other than Michelle McMahon, just a queen of the NHL Network, I believe, at this point. Michelle,
no,
you're everywhere. We turn on we turn on NHL Network here in Raleigh. It's Michelle's covering everything. You're at every press conference. You were on every show, seemingly, and we could not be happier for you. How are things in Pittsburgh?
Well, thank you, guys. Well, first of all, Jamie Hirsch is the queen. She was there before me, so I have to defer to my elder, and I thoroughly enjoyed covering the cup alongside my fellow hockey woman, so I got to give some love to her as well. But everything in Pittsburgh has been absolutely surreal. I mean, this is, like you said, it's the peak of the NHL, and it's surreal for me. I cannot believe that I'm actually here covering the Stanley Cup final. Like yesterday in game one, being on the bench, doing an interview before they're about to drop the puck was just like, you couldn't help but feel the excitement. And it was unbelievable. I mean, a total dream come true, as you guys know.
Well, if anything is certain, it is that game one of a Peter Laviolette-coached Stanley Cup final is going to include some drama. You had Rod Brind'Amour scoring with about 30 seconds left in game one here in Raleigh, all of the shenanigans that happened in game one of Philly, and then the comeback that fell just short last night. Michelle, what's the feeling in the locker room of the Pittsburgh Penguins today after having been outshot and outplayed for a majority of the game, but escaping with a win?
Great question that we were just talking about today, actually. I was in the locker room after game one, and it felt like a loss in the Penguins locker room, which is kind of odd because you're in the Stanley Cup final, you win game one. They don't ask how, they just ask how many, but that just goes to show how high the bar has been set for this Penguins team. While they were very happy with the results, and going up 1-0 in the series, every single player in that locker room, including Ron Hainsey, by the way, was less than satisfied with their performance. And even Mike Sullivan said it. He said, not one player in that locker room is fooled by the score. We know that we were fortunate to get the win in that one. But nonetheless, I mean, the guys were happy, but they weren't satisfied. So which if you're a Predators fan or on the Predators team, that's kind of a scary look for game two, because if this team still finds a way to beat you in game one, not playing at their best, that would be a little concerning then for game two. But I mean, look at Nashville. They're equally impressive and almost pulled off last night. You know, a couple bounces went the Penguins' way. And as you guys know, it's a game of inches.
So Michelle, I'd like you to rank the following three topics of discussion in order of things you'd like to talk about more to things you'd like to never hear about again. Offsides challenges, throwing dead animals onto the ice, and the debate between Stanley Cup final versus Stanley Cup finals.
Oh my gosh. None? None of the above. I think I would step outside the conversation of any of those topics.
That was the correct answer.
I thought it was a pretty bold move by that Predators fan to throw the catfish on the ice, which I actually saw him getting escorted out by the police. And he's dealing with some serious charges, you guys. Like, that is, like, apparently, I haven't read up on the details of it, but it seems like he's up against some pretty steep charges. But bold move, nonetheless. I mean, you got to respect the boldness.
Yeah, there. I saw one of the charges is actually disrupting a meeting. I didn't know that was a charge.
What?
Yeah, apparently
really?
That was one of the charges. The other one was called like an implement of crime or something to that effect. I was like, boy, these are some really antiquated names for things. But
well, and Derek, they said, you know, it was disrupting a meeting with an implement of crime. I'm pretty sure we're going to get arrested next year for kazoo night.
Ooh. Either that or they're expecting
like
Colonel Mustard.
I would love to be a part of.
Well, we would love to have you part of Kazoo Night. So, Michelle, you were up close and had a good chance to see everything, and you've really been covering a lot of things from the Penn side of the ice. But what changes do you expect both teams to have to make coming into a big game two tomorrow night to really set the tone before the games move on to Nashville?
Well, I think on Nashville's side, certainly cleaning up the penalties that they took, which led to the Penguins surging in the first period on that side. I know for the Penguins, they want to keep the puck away from Pecorino, but also putting loose shots on net. They went 37 minutes without putting one shot on net. That's never happened before, I don't think, in National Hockey League playoff history. The entire second period, the Penguins did not put up one shot. So I know that's probably something that they'll be adjusting for. But from what I could hear in the locker room on the Penguins side, at least, was to just clean it up, simplify the game. Evgeny Malkin was pretty adamant about not being pleased with the way he performed, despite obviously opening up the scoring with a huge goal. He also felt he took a bad penalty. And I think on both sides, cleaning up penalties, staying disciplined, but just playing to the game that got them there. The Penguins, both sides really, playing through injury. It's impressive what both of these teams have been able to do and to make it to this point with all the holes in their lineup on both sides. It's going to be an interesting series. I think I hope it goes seven games because this is just such interesting storylines on both sides.
Well, we would like for it to go seven games because that gives Nashville more chances to win games. Because apparently I like giving you parameters and questions, I have one last one here. You have now spent...
Oh, God.
You're a maximum of six games away from a full season at the NHL Network. Aside from covering the Stanley Cup final, or just the season in general and all the great experiences there. What has been your favorite thing of this past season at the NHL Network?
Oh, gosh, that's such a hard question to answer because there's so many things. Like, could you narrow it down a little bit, like, as far as, like, just hosting the show?
It could be one specific event or what the finest suit that Kevin Weeks showed up in. It could be anything running the gamut.
Well, let's see here. I think it comes in a multitude of parameters. I think, number one, the people I get to work with on a daily basis are awesome. And just like the people who are great in Carolina, the hockey world is awesome. You guys know this. Everybody I've worked with from management down is unbelievable on the hockey side of things. And I think that's just a cultural thing. So that would be number one for me. As far as events, favorite ones to cover, that's probably still being written for me here with the Stanley Cup Final. But outside Stanley Cup Final aside, I would say the Winter Classic was really, really cool. That was also back here in Pittsburgh. And just being in that environment in the outdoor game, that was the first game that Ron Hainsey played when he got traded. So that was like a cool full circle moment for me, tying back together my Hurricanes days with being with a guy like Ron Hainsey to see him play, you know, in that kind of game. But then also now in the Stanley Cup is just really rewarding to see a guy like that get paid off. And then thirdly, I would just say on the show, NHL Now, it's just been a fun year of growth. EJ and Steve, I can't say enough good things about them. They have been the reason that I've supposedly succeeded in my role. Who knows if that's up for subjectivity, I guess. But those guys are awesome. I mean, it was their show the last 5 years, and they greeted me with open arms and made me feel part of everything. So just making new relationships and making friends, meeting people, I mean, this has just been fun. Like, I don't feel like I've worked a day in my life since doing broadcasting number one, but then just to be here it's fun. It doesn't feel like work. So, and then also another favorite part is that I still get to do football on the weekend, which is fun because I love doing hockey during the week and football on the weekends, which means I don't have a life, but I get to do a job that I love. So
13 weeks till
a lot of highlights.
13 weeks till college football, but who's counting?
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Well,
we
are super excited. And Michelle, again, thank you for taking some time at what is a just crazy hectic schedule. Anybody who's been tuning into the NHL Network has seen your virtual wall-to-wall coverage, everything from Media Day on Sunday to NHL Now. And please give Mirzi our best. We're really excited for his new role that he's going to have with the Pittsburgh Penguins next year. So I know that leaves a co-host role available. If Mike Rupp happens to come down with like another torn ACL, you know, a couple of guys in Raleigh you can call. Michelle, you are the best. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking some time out for us.
No, you guys are the best. I miss you guys so much. And I apologize on the short time frame today, but I look forward to catching up with you guys more soon and hoping for more fortune to come for Caniac Nation. I've got good feelings about that team still. So.
Good things are to come.
Always pulling for you.
We will see you in Chicago. Thanks, Michelle. Take care.
Sounds good. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, really like Michelle McMahon. She works so hard. People don't realize the amount of time she spent cutting tape, making basically up the first ever Big Ten hockey show, making it hers, to what she did here in Carolina, to now literally being the host of not only NHL Now, but being an integral part of all of the coverage anytime NHL Network travels anywhere. So we could not be happier for Michelle, but we also could not be happier that she still responds to our messages.
Which is nice of her. She doesn't have to do that.
Now that she's big time.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't big timed us yet.
No, she hasn't, but that day hopefully will never come because she's awesome. But the sky's the limit for her.
Yeah, she's doing good things. Unlike us, who are still here talking to you about cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get some cheat mail. Derek, what's in the ye olde cheat mailbox this week?
Ooh, ye olde cheat mailbox. Well, I'm actually gonna go back. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to do this one just for the gimmick infringement. This question came to us from Will Looper. It actually didn't come to us. It went to Mike Smith, but Will used the hashtag cheat mail instead of tweet mail. Hashtag brand dominance. And he said, after watching Smashville win the Western Conference Finals last night, what's your best memory of the community embracing the Canes?
Best memory of the community embracing the Canes is, I think it's pretty simple. It's the airport trips.
Yeah.
I mean, it was as that season began to roll downhill, there was more and more people who would make the midnight 1, 2 o'clock, sometimes 3 o'clock journey out to RDU Airport to be able to greet the team's plane as it came in to the, at that point, what was kind of a private jet hangar. It started out as some of the loyal followers, but it ended up with thousands of people parking up and down the side streets that led into RDU Airport. RDU Airport wasn't quite the big, massive place that it was now. And it was just phenomenal. And it's kind of continued, you know, things like, I'm trying to remember who it was, but somebody got their first ever hat trick when they were on the road. And our friend of the podcast, Nancy Statton, a.k.a. at Raleigh Caniac, went out there and littered the sidewalk where the plane lands with hats. So that way, again, it escapes me who it was. I'm sure somebody will come over on the Twitters and correct my ignorance. And basically, you know, to make sure that they did get their hats tossed and they get to experience a hat trick. So
my two fondest airport run memories. I mean, obviously the 02 and the 06 runs, there were plenty of airport runs. But after the Canes lost Game 5 to Detroit, they lost the Stanley Cup. The players stayed out at the airport until I don't know what time in the morning, thanking fans and signing autographs. I mean, these guys were emotionally beaten, physically drained, and they were still doing right by their fans. Yeah. That was an incredible moment. The other one was after the shock at the Rock in New Jersey, going from a moment of just being despondent in a bar when the Canes are down by a goal with almost no time left to winning that damn game in regulation, and everyone at the bar that I was with saying, F it, we're going to the airport. I'm calling my friends saying, who else is with me to meet at the airport? And that was a lot of fun. I look forward to doing that again.
I look forward to that next season.
It'll be a good time.
And I also enjoy the fact that Nashville is currently carrying on that tradition of greeting Smashville at the airport. So really, really excited there. This one from somebody we mentioned a little bit earlier, Derek, this is at Mr. Workrate, at Section 328, five of us are going to the draft. How many are coming back? Hashtag cheat mail.
I assume by that question he means how many of the five of us are coming back, not how many draftees are coming back. Right?
I believe that is the essence of his question, yes.
I'm going to say five of us.
I'm going 4¾. Someone's losing part of their soul.
it's most likely to lose part of their soul. Pat or Oliver?
Oh, Oliver.
Okay.
Oliver. I don't know if he's necessarily going to lose it. He may just misplace it inside of his stovepipe hat.
Oh, God. Related question from our buddy Dan McLaughlin. What is your favorite summer beverage? One alcoholic and one non-alcoholic for those days when you're hungover.
Favorite alcoholic beverage of the summer is sweet, delicious booze.
Could you be less specific?
I believe my drink of the summer, again, with trying to stay somewhat on the calorie deficiency level, you know, trying not to become Fat Mike again. Mm-hmm. What I've been enjoying tonight is a shot of Deep Eddie's vodka.
Okay.
Shot of limoncello.
Okay.
Some sugar-free or some Splenda lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And some unsweet tea. So okay. Basically a vodka Arnold Palmer without going down the sugary Firefly route. Again, I know there's sugar and limoncello and all of those other things, but this feels like I'm being a little smarter. I've also got a little mint outside, so I take a little mint, put it in there, so I get a little mint Arnold Palmer thing action. It's really, really refreshing. Anytime that I'm hanging out by the pool, I want coconut rum with a fruit juice in it.
Sounds good. And what about your what about your non-alcoholic drink?
Coconut rum is alcoholic.
Right. So what's your non-alcoholic
drink? No, I'm questioning. Coconut rum is alcoholic?
It's rum.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pass on that second part then, Derek.
Okay. So I'll provide both answers. Mike, you're not going to like my first answer. Alcoholic drink of the summer? Gozas.
Yeah, that's awful.
They're refreshing. They're slightly tart. They're crisp. They finish dry. The Westbrook Goza is a favorite of mine. I even like this year's Sierra Nevada Otra Vez. It's a Goza-style ale. Highly recommend that. And in my quest to avoid calories when I'm not drinking alcohols, non-alcoholic drink, I like bubbly water. Like a sparkling lime water. Not just like straight club soda or anything, but like the Dasani sparkling waters. Or I could go all William Needham Finley IV and have that pipeline of LaCroix brought into Raleigh and just drink some good old bougie water.
Yeah, yeah. You're definitely, you, your bougie water, your Seven for All Mankind jeans. Derek, you're losing touch with the people. I'm trying to see here. We had a bunch of questions for Scott and Michelle. Some of them we got to, some of them we didn't. Hey, here's one from our buddy, not that Alex Jones, Alexander Jones. Let's say the Canes move on from both Ward and Lack. Who's the replacement / backup goaltender? And I'm going to assume that neither one of us are choosing the Flower, since we've already talked that one to death tonight.
I really should have prepared for this question, Mike.
You could have.
But I didn't. I genuinely don't know who the hell the replacement would be, because we can't go to Nedeljkovic yet.
No.
That would be a just
can't
a
go
death
to Callum
knell.
Booth yet.
No. Altschuler's nowhere near ready. Like, there's no one in the pipeline that's ready. So it would have to be some kind of free agency pickup or trade for a backup. But I truly don't know who's out there. And I think there's a lot of pieces in play. But I don't think we're going to move on from both Ward and Lack.
I could see us moving on from both.
So where do we go?
Jaro Halak.
Isn't he getting paid like $4 million?
He is. But
for one more year, right?
For one more year, you do the New York Islanders a solid. You know, okay. It's another one of those. There's going to be a lot of interesting goaltender movement. Ben Bishop's already off the market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's some interesting pieces out there. I'm going to, again, he asked, I'm answering Jaro Halak.
That works for me.
Okay, there we go. Derek, that's it for cheat meal questions. Folks had a lot of questions, particularly around what Scott Darling's food or food of choice would be. We know it is now a hot dog with mustard, no ketchup, because ketchup doesn't belong on a hot dog.
Correct.
And also celery salt.
I didn't know that that was the secret ingredient.
We will.
It's like a cough syrup in a Flaming Moe.
Maybe what we will do is we will Instagram story when we have that very hot dog from Chicago. We'll also be having beers in Chicago, Derek. You're having a beer tonight. Why don't you tell the fine folks about it?
I am having a beer tonight, and this is from a brewery right around the corner from the Section 328 Worldwide Headquarters, Linwood Brewing Concern. This is the Luciferous. It has the Webster's definition on the front, but I'm not going to go there. This is from their Barrel Room series. It comes in a 16-ounce bottle. Or 16.9. It's 6% alcohol, and it's into their sour foray. So I'll read you the description from the side. It says it's fermented with Belgian ale yeast in stainless vessels, followed by over a year in French oak with a blend of lactobacillus and fruit-forward Brettanomyces, two different yeasts, and finished with copious amounts of apricots. The result is a beer that balances tartness with sweetness, reminiscent of perfectly ripe fruit and summer sunshine. 6.2 alcohol, and this was bottled about a month ago. It's darn good beer. To my knowledge, this is Linwood's second entry into making barrel-aged sours, and it's pretty darn good. It pours a really hazy, like, dark gold sort of color that's reminiscent of dried apricots. The nose on it really does smell like, if you open up a bag or if you happen to buy one of those styrofoam containers that they use in the meat department, but they didn't put meat on it. They just put the dried apricots on there and wrapped it up, and it's by the nuts at the front of Harris Teeter. This isn't helping my bougie argument, is it, Mike?
Not at all.
Okay, damn. But it smells like dried apricots.
Can't wait for your fine cheese review later.
Oh my God. Can we add a cheese review?
No.
Oh, damn it.
Goat cheese?
Oh, see. Okay, I got you now.
Of course you do. Keep going.
But no, I mean, this beer, it really is like tart apricot. For me, I get the sour, the tart, the pucker to this, but I was hoping with that Brettanomyces and the lacto for it to add a little bit more creaminess. There is some texture to it, and I think that's more a result of it being unfiltered as opposed to the yeast. And I really would like it to be funkier. But that's just my personal palate, because when I want sours, I want them to damn near assault my palate. So I would say this is a much better sour for folks who are newer to sours or don't want that as aggressive of an experience. That is not to say this is not an enjoyable beer, because I am enjoying the hell out of this beer. I would encourage folks to buy it because it's a good, still locally owned North Carolina brewery that is making sours. So check it out. Pick it up. I want to say it's in the neighborhood of $10 for the bottle, which, considering it spent a year in oak barrels and they made 999 bottles of it, not a bad deal. So very enjoyable beer. I am polishing off the final couple ounces of this as we speak. Mike?
I took a small taste of it. It tasted tart. It tasted like a sour beer. It was well made.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate what it does. It is definitely not as enjoyable as the 10-ounce Coors Light Summers from a few years ago. Because, you know, the Coors Crusher, as we like to refer to them.
Or the Summer Slams.
Or the Summer Slams may have been the perfect summer beer ever.
They were a great, that was a great pool beer or backyard beer.
Or I'm going to drink all the beer and not get hammered beer.
Yeah.
As opposed to that, you drink two or three of those and you're like, I'm Ubering at home.
Yeah, sleepy.
So beer good, podcast good, draft coming up good. If only there were a way we could mix all three and maybe, you know, give something special to our loyal listeners. If only there had been a precedent set by one of the podcasts that we've kind of based this podcast off of.
Mike, No. Wait.
Yep.
Yeah?
Is it happening? Are we officially announcing it?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we would like to officially announce that Derek and I are going to do the unthinkable. We are going to deliver something to you that we have promised for now two seasons. We are going to put it on the docket. We are going to make a promise to you right here. This will be a Patreon exclusive. If you are a Patreon listener or you have ever wanted to join our Patreon, you don't have to go to the $5 level, the $10 level. You can go for as little as $1 a month to support this podcast. On the Friday night after the first round of the National Hockey League entry draft in Chicago, with the entire Section 328 team all aboard, we are going to deliver to you the Drunken Cheaters Never Win podcast.
Oh, God.
As was inspired by the Drunken Merrick versus Wyshynski. It'll be a solid 45-minute to hour podcast. We will make sure that
Define solid.
It's going to be rock solid. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll probably tell a lot of stories. Some of them may be slightly inappropriate, but I can tell you what we will do. You know what, Derek?
What's that?
I might tell the Paul Coffey story.
Oh, God.
For those of you who know me and have thought about hearing about the Paul Coffey story, there is a great Paul Coffey story that I will share and only share on the Drunken Cheaters Never Win podcast. And the only way you're going to get an access to it is not to subscribe. You have to be a Patreon supporter. We are going to put it up only on Patreon.com. So if you've ever considered or thought about joining the Patreon group, go to Patreon.com/Section328. Commit $1 and get yourself in line for what is going to be one of the most memorable podcasts in Cheaters Never Win history. Tonight's was memorable. Scott Darling, Michelle McMahon, probably two of the best guests we've ever had. After we do the Drunken podcast, may not ever get another guest again. But we've promised it, and we're going to deliver.
Oh, boy.
Derek's got this look of, oh, crap. He did it. Derek doesn't like it when I make promises on the podcast to deliver things.
That's true. I don't, but no. I've got a strangely good and horrible feeling about this one.
Yeah. We've talked about a lot of things on this podcast, Derek. We've got a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank the people for listening. So people who are listening, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you to Scott Darling. Thank you to Michelle McMahon.
Thank you to the Carolina Hurricanes organization for letting Scott Darling join this podcast.
Yes. Particular thanks to Mike Sondheim, who we had beat up for access to Mr. Darling. And Sonny, as always, delivered. So yes. Thank you to Sonny, and thank you to you guys, our loyal listeners, for putting up with us for yet another week. We are going
Or in this case, month.
Yeah. Again, at least one more podcast between now and the draft, so that way we can get on some of our friends to talk about what we can expect, and we'll do a mock draft. Maybe? I don't know.
Probably not.
Because we don't know that much, but we have great friends like Grant McCaggs from recruits.ca, Mark Seidel, who was on previously. We've also got good friends like Corey Pronman from ESPN. We've got all sorts of friends around the National Hockey League. Shane Malloy from Hockey Prospects Radio. We'll get a couple of those guys on between now and the draft, so that way you guys can be prepared for the Carolina Hurricanes picking 12th, or maybe not picking at all.
Because, well, I don't think we're going to trade all our picks.
But we might have. Dejemin Gretzky. Until then, my name is Mike.
This is Derek.
We are out of here.